You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. My name is Ben Barrett and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Andy Holding. Andy, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, yep. Can't complain.
That'll do. That's all good. We do want to mention a couple of things. Firstly, the racing industry has lost a couple of people recently. Robert Alner, former Gold Cup winning trainer, and former jockey James Banks. Of course, it goes without saying that everyone at William Hill, everyone at Racing Radio, sends our thoughts and condolences to all concerned. I saw that Andrew Thornton had a couple of very nice words to say about Robert Alner in particular in the Racing Post today, and we just wanted to back that up and say that, of course, pundits, staff members, everyone here at William Hill HQ does indeed send our thoughts and condolences to all concerned. We are going to carry on with the podcast as normal now. Andy, you've been part of the William Hill Racing Radio team today. Darren Owen and Will Smith between you. Have you found some wins? Are you in a bit of form?
I've just come off the back of tipping a horse called the Eagle's Nest at Southall. It was one of my two bets of the day. The one's my nap, actually. I probably napped the wrong one now, of course. It's always the way. I've napped one in the last at Wolverhampton, so hopefully that'll do okay. But, yeah, we're doing all right so far.
That'll do.
Yeah, the racing,
okay.
The racing's going quite well. There was a bit of a shock win at Ludlow, 25-1 shot, Kerry Lees, but quite a nice horse going forward, I thought.
So a couple for the notebook as much as the betting slip going forward.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Good day for that.
I think that's always the key in this game. If not every race is a betting medium, but sometimes you can just sit back and relax and view a race with a view going forward and making your notes and making a few bets out of that certain race next time.
I always find the Wednesday podcast is slightly awkward to record because all the good stuff's happened and we've kind of already mentioned it in Sunday, Monday and Tuesday's podcasts. Mm. And the good stuff of the weekend isn't quite here yet, so it's a little bit early to talk about the weekend's good stuff. However, tomorrow is a little bit of an odd one because actually at Huntington tomorrow,
yes,
we've got a Cheltenham Festival Antipost favourite in action. Now, we're not going to preview this race in its entirety, but as part of the retail service, Andrew Thornton has previewed this race. So let's hear what he thinks on the Sydney Banks Memorial Novices Hurdle at Huntington.
Well, the Sydney Banks in the 231 is the race at Huntington tomorrow. I have a big affinity with this race. I won it with French Holly back in 1998. He went on to win at the Cheltenham Festival. It'll tell us which race Shiskin will head for, the Supreme or for the Ballymore. Have a look at the specials in this race because I think he'll be an impressive winner.
Huge thanks to Andrew Thornton for doing that preview for us. Shiskin then runs just the four competitors for Shiskin tomorrow. Favourite for the Supreme Novices at the Festival. What would you be hoping to get out of Shiskin tomorrow, already a short price at 4-11, to cement that favouritism for the Festival?
Well, I think we're not going to learn a massive amount because I think the opposition, dare I say, isn't of a massive high quality. You've got some useful horses in there. Pacify worked his way through the summer jumping ranks and ran respectively at Cheltenham last time when we saw him. I think Shamblou is a useful individual. He ran in the good grade two at Warwick last time out when he was probably made too much use of. I think he's probably further down the line a handicapper rather than the graded horse. And hanging there comes off the back of a running a graded race as well. So they're all useful in their own right, but none of them I think are going to go to Cheltenham other than Shiskin. And he's found his way to the top of the Supreme Novices market. I won't say by default, but it's been a fairly momentous gamble, really, because when he won the other day at Newbury, he took everyone's breath away with his manner of victory, and everyone's done the times, the sectionals and all that. So they all realised that he quickened up really well from 3-out, 2-out to the line. And subsequently, he's gone from 10-1 into 4-1.
Yeah.
And none of the other horses really have dented their reputations by just obviously sitting in their box. So I think he's gone to a little bit of a crazy price now. And he's almost on a little bit of a hiding to nothing tomorrow in many respects. Whether this is a fact-finding mission to see whether 2.5 miles is going to be more suitable than dropping back to 2 remains to be seen. And don't forget, the owner has also now got that head-scratcher of maybe trying to keep his main two horses apart, because Astorian Falange, who's trained by Willie Mullins but runs in the same colours, won the Grade 1 at Leopardstown on Sunday, putting himself forward as a possible Supreme Novices Hurdle candidate.
Yeah.
So if I own these two, I think the last thing you want to be doing is running them against each other. So a lot will depend on the weather nearer the day. I'd imagine if it was fairly quick ground, maybe Shiskin had run in the 2 mile race, and maybe the other one might run in the 2.5 mile because he looks more of a stayer. That's just the way I see it. I've got no privy information of how it'll go, but he's a very smart horse. He's got a great turn of foot. He looks like a 2 miler the way he quickens. That's all I will say. So unless he does something daft tomorrow, then you'd imagine he'll go into Cheltenham with his reputation unscathed.
Yeah, you've kind of answered my next question there, really, is what are connections going to be trying to learn from this? We've already seen an impressive victory this calendar year. To someone who is slightly less au fait with horse racing and the way that connections plan for these big meetings, I don't quite understand what connections are going to get out of coming back into the racing sphere quite so quickly, if you know what I mean. Well, I'm trying to learn here a little bit,
I think what he does lack, if anything else, is a little bit of experience.
Okay.
He's just had the one run technically over. He's only jumped 8 flights of hurdles in his life. He fell at the second down the back at Newbury on his debut. So, in effect, it's not really the ideal scenario to take a horse who's just jumped 9 hurdles in public. So I think the exercise is tomorrow, yes, of course, to win without having too hard of a race, obviously, but more importantly, he's going to be jumping more hurdles, so that the extra distance tomorrow actually gives him an extra 2 or 3 hurdles to jump rather than running over 2 miles. So they're actually kind of thinking outside of the box in many respects, so that would just put him absolutely bang on with regards technique and getting him to jump well at pace, because like I said, they know Muggs, it's not as if he's a 33 on shot and he's got nothing to beat. You know, the other four are all okay in their own right. So it's not exactly an exercise canter, but I think we'll need to see a good technique, and you know, we should be beating these quite comfortably if it's to justify 4-1 favouritism for the Supreme. You know, I'd imagine like a relatively cosy success by about 3 or 4 lengths. With that, you know, he's not going to go and win 20 lengths and do something crazy. He doesn't need to win that far. Whether he'll get shortened up, I don't know. It depends on how impressive he is. But I think it's an interesting quandary of what will happen between those two horses from that same ownership. One of them, I think, is going to end up in the 2.5. We won't know yet, but what I've seen of this fella so far, and the clock tells me he's a 2 miler.
There we go. Thank you. I'm learning here. Every day is a school day on the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. Let's have a little look ahead to a couple of other races tomorrow. We've picked a couple to look at, and we'll start at Chelmsford, the 140 race. 1 mile, 2 furlongs. It is the Family Fun Day Handicap Class 6 contest, 0-60 rated, and we do have betting through already. Calidus Mirabalis is 3-1. Arabescato is 100-30. Love My Life, 6-1. Handsome Yank, 13-2. Manap is 7-1. Vertice is 8-1. Everything else, double figure prices. Dancing Girl, American Dreamer, Montserrat, Stealth Command, Gingerbox, Dark Side Division. 12 of them going to post. Which one, which two, which few would you like to mention?
I'll just mention the most likely favourite.
Okay.
Hopefully the most likely winner. Calidus Mirabalis.
Yes.
Trained by Joseph O'Brien, who's now just making a habit of bringing horses over and going away with the prizes. Dune of Pilat was a good winner at Southall, of all places. I think it was the first winner Joseph had at Southall the other week. And, of course, he had a winner at Kempton last night as well, a filly called Moonajart. So he's obviously getting the taste for success over here. And what I often find as well, that horses that have got winning form and good winning form as well at Dundalk in hot handicaps are proving a step ahead of their English counterparts. Dundalk is incredibly, incredibly competitive. You get races where in midweek there's like 80 runners declared to run in a what'll end up being a 14 runner handicap. They often split, but that means still that 50, 60 horses can't get a run. So everyone's looking to run, so therefore the races are extremely competitive because they all want to do well. They all want to stay in the winter carnival, as it were, at Dundalk, because there's lots of prize money on in the race every week. So, you know, that they're basically turning their runs over very regularly, and a lot of the horses are fit and they're holding their form well. And as I said, they are races of a very high standard compared to what we've got over here. This horse managed to win last time out at Dundalk, as I said, over a mile, but kept on well to beat a horse of actually Donico O'Brien's. He's his brother, and they were well clear of the rest, including a horse called J.M. Barry, who was well fancied as well. It just looked a fair race of its kind. I still think this horse is fairly well handicapped. Ben Curtis has been used as well, and he was used on Munajat the other day, so he's obviously gone for the most informed jockey over in the UK on the all weather. Got a very good draw in stall one. I think on what I've seen so far, the horse will stay the trip. So there's lots to like about its claims, I must admit. So probably one of my stronger views of the day so far, just looking at what else we've got in store. So Calidus Mirabilis in the 140 at Chelmsford kicks us off.
It does. Currently as 3-1 favourite. We are recording this best part of 24 hours prior to race time, but 3-1 favourite currently. Arabescato is 130 second favourite, having already been nibbled in, having opened up at 9-2. Right, we're going to skip forward 3 hours to the 4:40 at Doncaster. And unfortunately, we don't quite yet have prices through for this race, which is a little bit of a shame. I'll run you through the runners, though, down in racing card number. Number one, Justice Knight. Out on the Tear, Tim Rocco. Armatekian, Rama, Kalodi, Holy Him, Hermanus, First of Never, Bells of Barnock, Dalkadam, Lucky Circle, Mrs. GJ, Infinity, and Madam Scully, number 15. So we do have 15 to go from here. No prices, unfortunately, as yet. Which one would you like to mention?
I'll stick with on the Tear here.
Okay.
Runner for Sam Allwood.
Yep.
Got beat last time out at Utoxet and was trying to double up. Was a previous win over the course and distance the time before. Was well fancied to duplicate that success, but unfortunately bumped into an equally probably mobile horse trained by Davey Pipe called Main Fact. And it Main Fact pull out all the stops. It was the last race of the day, actually, on a very, very busy Saturday. Everyone piled into Main Fact, 6-4 into 10-11. And for 9/10 of that race, it looked as though Out in the Tear was going to take its measure. It took a Herculean run by the Pipe Runner to end up getting on top of Out on the Tear late on. They were well clear of the rest. The time figure was pretty useful and for the grade. And Main Fact has gone on to back up that form by absolutely dotting up at Foss last year. I think it won by 10 lengths. So the form has instantly taken a hit.
Yeah.
And back on a slightly better surface tomorrow, I think this horse could easily bounce back. Certainly going to be very well handicapped based off that run at Utox. I think it's gone up £3, but still basically runs in the same grade. I was very keen on Out on the Tear, in-form horse, and that form tying in nicely with Main Fact looks the pick.
Looking at the other runners in the race, Out on the Tear, likely to be in amongst the favourites, you would think?
I would say so, yeah. I'd like to suggest perhaps with William Hill nowadays offering four places on 14-15 runner handicaps that we could get an each way price, but given that the bookmakers aren't stupid, they know that Main Fact form is probably the best coming into this race, and I haven't missed anything, I don't think, with any of the other runners. I'd imagine be about a 5-2, 3-1 shot tops. There doesn't appear to be too many dangerous floaters, like lightly raced types that may have a little bit ahead of the handicap, but obviously you'd have to factor in Justice Knight, who was a winner two starts ago from the Scudamore camp, and will appreciate the good ground. Bit of a disappointment around Fakenham last time out, but the more galloping track will suit, and he's probably the most likely front runner as well. Usually goes tearing off in front, but that should give a good lead to Out in the Tear, who has already proven that a strong run race over 2 miles is very much its bag. So I'll be quite confident about these two tomorrow.
Quite confident.
Yeah, I'd say so.
That's a nice way to go. Yeah. Never mind that. Out on the Tear, Charlie Price booked on board. Currently only SP betting. Stay tuned to WilliamHorn.com and on the app. I will say this, though. We are paying four places instead of three
there
on this particular race.
Thought we would.
So we're hoping to find a little bit of each way value and maybe Out on the Tear. If the prices suit, should be there or thereabouts. A couple of selections then from Andy Holding for tomorrow's race. And you can join Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott covering races from Huntington, Chelmsford, Doncaster, New Newcastle, and if we can get over to Thurles a little bit as well, we will do just that. Of course, there will be another Daily Racing podcast tomorrow. I can tell you that Chris Pimlott is on the podcast tomorrow. He's always good value.
Andy, he's thank indeed, you. Yes.
Andy, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.